Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, publicbroadcasting.org. It's the raincoat of free speech, because when it's raining, especially if it's raining cats and dogs, you don't want to get wet. And dogs don't want to get wet. They don't mind the dogs part of raining cats and dogs, but they're not so crazy about the cats part. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send fundage, and it's badly needed, to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by. So this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick, for having me on. Pleasure.
Oh, yes. Always. As always. Okay, so you had an idea of what to start the show with. What was that idea?
I ran across this article, Medvedev responds to the Brandon Ukrainian terror strike. Medvedev says Russian might start firing nukes in response to Biden's Ukrainian terror scheme. It's a Stormer article in which he highlights the RT. Moscow's revised nuclear doctrine permits retaliatory strikes against NATO for the kind of attacks that U.S. President Joe Biden reportedly authorized last week, according to Dmitry Medvedev. Russia responding very carefully, I think, but sternfully. How seriously do you think that Russia takes Brandon's remarks on, you know, allowing missiles to be sent into Moscow? Is it taken seriously? Like, what is this response? Is it just a response, or do they take him very seriously?
I do think they take it seriously, because for months, the Jewish guy who runs Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, has been saying he wants to be able to use these longer range missiles and attack deep into Russia. And the Brandon thingamajig and the other so-called leaders of the Western world have been saying, no, you can't do that. We're not ready to go there. But now I guess with only two more months in office, the Brandon thingy has been pressed into authorizing this, and the Ukrainians, won't they do it? I mean, these Ukrainians, they started this war. The Ukrainians were shelling the two Donbass provinces, killed 14,000 people, primarily ethnic Russians, but Ukrainian, erstwhile Ukrainian citizens. So why wouldn't Zelensky use, now with he's got the weaponry, he's got the permission, why wouldn't he want them to be shot into Russia? And they could do damage. They could do considerable damage. Who knows? Could they be a decapitation? Could they hit the Kremlin and blow things up? Now, it does require the Ukrainians can't do it all by themselves because of reasons. In the case of American weaponry, Americans would have to be involved in the launching of it, the deployment and launching. Those are the attackums, because you got to catch them all, Pokemon. It's an attackum missile. And then the British have the so-called Storm Shadow missiles. Storm Shadow. That sounds, it's, how about, they should call them the Stormfront missiles, right? But, so they have these. The Storm Shadow comes after the Stormfront, I guess. And the British would have to be involved in that. So it's very serious. So not only is it there's the potential to do more damage inside Russia than previously, but also it is that much more blatant involvement, participation of the United States and so-called NATO countries. So I do think they take it seriously.
When I hear Storm Shadow, I think of the evil ninja on Cobra side. When you in the context of Cobra, G.I. Joe, Storm Shadow was an evil ninja. That's just me throwing my cultural reference out. But realistically, so when the Maidan coup happened, there was a twofold purpose for this. Firstly, the Brandon administration, you know, Brandon and Hunter Biden had financial interests in gas companies that were in Ukraine and gas flowing from Russia to Germany. Okay. And they wanted to have a chokehold. Thus the Nord Stream, right? Russia, you know, went around that. And then the Nord Stream was bombed. So there's one aspect of why the Brandon administration was so interested in Ukraine to gain control of these energy companies. But also, I think another goal was to eventually put weapons on the border of Ukraine to fire at Moscow to keep Russia in check, I guess, if you will. Because at the time in 2013, 2014, the U.S. government was trying to overthrow Syria, Bashar government. And so if they had Russia, you know, hemmed in, the taking of Syria would be much easier. So I think these things are coming to fruition now, being able to put weapons on the Ukraine border pointing at Moscow, and also to control the gas that's coming from Russia to Germany. I think those are two things in play. And perhaps we can comment on that. But that's why the Russian response, right? The invasion of the Donbass and trying to sort of take control of the situation that happened 2.5 years ago. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, that all makes sense. You know, one thing that's very interesting is the statement that Donald Trump issued, I suppose, on Monday. And he was expressing a great deal of alarm about the prospect of World War III. And he seemed to put the blame for it on neocons in the United States. That you didn't have to read very far between the lines. You didn't even have to read between the lines. He was saying that we've got to stop these neocon globalists who are starting endless wars around the world. Didn't specify them in that sentence as Americans, but a couple of sentences later said our biggest threat isn't from Russia. Our biggest threat is from the people in our government or people who hate us, people who represent us but actually hate our country. So it's very clear that he's not blaming the Russians. That was interesting. But another thing that he said was the fighting's got to stop. It's just got to stop. And, you know, the thing is, if you're the Russians, you're winning the war, and you're fighting the war for a reason. You're fighting the war because of NATO expansion. You're fighting the war because the war had been started at a somewhat lower level, but a very lethal level, where you're having 14,000 people over the course of, what was it, 8 years. That's pretty significant, 14,000 people being killed over the course of 8 years. So Russia, it's not enough for Russia just to stop and freeze things where they are. And it's not really even a matter of territorial acquisition. But, I mean, Russia, first and foremost, needs Ukraine or requires Ukraine to be neutral and not threatening to it. And simply having a ceasefire doesn't do that. You could have a ceasefire. In fact, what has been continuously talked about in the West as a potential what would you call it? Objective in negotiation would be to have a ceasefire, frozen conflict. Frozen conflict's the term that gets used. Well, frozen conflict just means you're not fighting right now, but you are preparing to fight in the future. And that's absolutely unacceptable to Russia. I mean, Russia's made great deal of sacrifices. Russia may well have lost 100,000 soldiers. And, for Russia, when they lost at least, say, 27 million in World War II and maybe close to 20 million in World War I, like 100,000 is almost it pales in comparison. But how many times has the United States ever lost 100,000 in a war? We might have lost about 100,000 in World War I, maybe close to 400,000 in World War II. But 100,000 is a big deal. That's more or less the same as we lost in Vietnam and Korea together. And of course, Korea was 3 years. Vietnam was a lot more than that. And so, Russia's making great sacrifices, and to make great sacrifices just to have a frozen conflict that's not going to fly. But Donald Trump is like he's got the right idea, and the war, the fighting's got to stop. Well, honestly, the Jewing has to stop. I think, can we agree on that? The Jewing has to stop. It's just got to stop.
Yeah. Well, let me float something else out to you that I've heard on podcasts such as War Strike with Balog and Stryker. And this is the theory that the focus needs to be taken off of the Ukraine and focused on the war with Iran, and that in order to gain favor with Russia, the U.S. needs to pull away from the support from the Ukraine to gain favor with Russia, so that the U.S. can go to war with Iran and Russia not intercede. In other words, there's a give and take there. That's a theory that's been floated that I've heard on War Strike, that basically the premise for Trump pulling his support from Ukraine is to get Russia to not intercede should the U.S. go to war with Iran over the sake of Israel. What do you think of that theory?
Yeah, I don't. You can make that case. You can have a certain logic to it. But on the other hand, one of the things you could make the argument that one of the things that is preventing Russia or leading Russia to be less proactive in supporting Iran, and Russia has it's been having military trade with Iran. It goes both ways. I mean, Iran sells drones and whatnot to Russia, and Russia's supplied a lot of weapons and technology to Iran, so it goes both ways. They have a good relationship, but the fact that Russia is preoccupied with Ukraine gives it less of a free hand to get involved in the Middle East. I think to the extent Russia gets involved in the Middle East, it's going to be on the side of Iran. So, yeah, that's the way I see it. I think when things have wrapped up in Ukraine, at that point, Russia and China are going to be in a better position to impose some sort of settlement on the Middle Eastern conflict. Yeah, I think if there was a cessation of fighting, it would allow neocons in the Trump administration to concentrate their resources on supporting Israel. That would be what they would want. Whether that's a good strategy for them or not is another question, but I'll kick it back to you, Jeremy.
The question proposed was that if the Jewish system were pushing Trump to stop support for Ukraine in regards to garnering support for Russia to not support Iran, in a U.S. Iranian war in favor of Israel, is that a thing? Would Russia acquiesce to that? And you say no. In other words, you're saying that Russia's holding strong on support for Iran and also on support for retaining the Donbass and not allowing NATO to take control of Ukraine.
Yeah. They will not let NATO take control of Ukraine, and they will take the Donbass and a few other provinces. The longer the war goes on, the more they'll take.
Yeah, so that was the question. If Trump says we're not going to support the Ukraine in favor of you letting us go to war with Iran, you don't see that as a thing?
No, not really, no.
Okay.
Because Russia's winning, and of course it's a sacrifice. The longer the war goes on, the more Russian troops die, but the Ukrainians are on the verge of running out of men. And Ukrainian losses have been at least five times as much as Russian losses. The Russians can sustain the losses, but the Russians have been pursuing this war in such a way as to minimize their losses, which means they're not doing blitzkriegs, and they're doing everything slowly and methodically. Of course, that has led to very, very significant Ukrainian losses, which is all regrettable, but this was imposed on Russia.
But I'm saying, Russia wouldn't relinquish their support of Iran, because why?
They've developed very good relations. B, they're not there's no deal that that even a Trump administration could make that the Russians are going to trust. The Russians have lost all trust in promises made by the United States. So I think, it's not necessarily that they're going to get actively involved in a war for Iran, but their level of support for Iran isn't going to decrease. There's no reason why it would decrease at this point.
Right, because you have the shift. Well, you have this Eurasian shift. You have this thing of BRICS. And Iran is a pivotal point of that.
Iran's a big country. If you look on the map, Russia is huge, and China's big, and even India is larger than Iran. But when you get down to it, Iran's a very large country. It's got population something like 90 million. It's
here he comes, here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. Gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, bet your life's eraser, machine it through. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go. He's up and flying as he guns a car around the track. He's jamming down the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead. Ghostbeat Racer.
Start your day on RBN with John Moore from 7-10. With coffee cup in hand, wake up with the Liberty Man. Highly qualified guests share their knowledge with the callers Monday through Friday. His website is second to none. It's thelibertyman.com. You'll find everything right there. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in. Weekdays on RBN. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in. Weekdays on RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
And even India is larger than Iran. But when you get down to it, Iran's a very large country. It's got population something like 90 million. It's reasonably advanced technologically, despite decades of American sanctions. And it's doing better now than it's done for a long time, in large part because you're getting this coalescence of the BRICS countries. And Iran is a full member of BRICS now. I don't see the Russia abandoning Iran just for the United States promising to cease support for Ukraine at a time when, you know, it's kind of late for that. To the extent there was ever any opportunity for that, that ship has sailed. The Ukrainians are, you know, they're on their last legs. The ability of the United States and the West to provide support is waning. It's not at all popular. We don't have large stockpiles of weaponry. I mean, it's well over a year ago that we no longer had proper proper shells. So we're giving Ukraine cluster munitions, illegal cluster munitions to use instead. So I don't see what the advantage to Russia would be in such a deal. They're winning anyway.
Mm-hmm. So on the U.S. side, according to Fox News, Trump is said to lift all military restrictions on Israel on his first day in office. according to reports, is Fox News. So the any restrictions that the Brandon administration like put out there, just to try to look good. I mean, we know that Brandon and Chlamydia was all in for Israel. Trump's all in for Israel. They just do it in a different way. Like they have different optics. But according to Fox News, Trump is lifting all military restrictions on Israel on his first day in office. Fox News, amid escalating tensions between Hezbollah and Israel, President-elect Donald Trump has promised to lift all restrictions and delays on the supply of military equipment and ammunition to Israel immediately after his inauguration. This is according to Israel Channel 12 News reports. So what do you make of this? Like, Trump catered to AIPAC and Jewish power to win his election. He won it. We're assuming he won it because the Jews wanted him to win. Is that, first of all, is that, you know, is that a correct statement? Did Trump cater to Israel, and did he win the election because he was on the side of Israel?
Well, I'd say yes and no. So he certainly catered to pro-Israel Zionists. And in the show last night, we talked about what you could call two factions of Jewish power. And one faction is the faction that prioritizes Israel. They love Israel more than they hate Americans. And they voted for Trump. And the ones that, that hate Americans more than they love Israel voted for Harris and supported Harris. And I would, and my contention is that the faction that hates America more than they love Israel is the majority. And majority faction pointed out, and in Russian, majority faction is Bolshevik. That's what the word means. So Trump was catering to these Israel firsters for sure. I don't think that's why he won the election. If the election had been held on October 1st or October 5th instead of when November 5th, I think Chlamydia would have won. She came in and initially had a big boost, went up in the polls, and then she came down in the polls. The polls have always underestimated Trump by a few points. So maybe Trump would have maybe if it had been a month earlier, it would have been a squeaker and would have a contested election. But I disagree with the idea that the Jews as an entity put Trump in. Trump, most of the money in politics is Jewish money. And so most of Trump's money was coming from big money Jews. Most of Chlamydia's money was coming from big money Jews. And I think maybe the difference between 2024 and the previous two elections isn't so much that the Jews made Trump win, but the Jews, because he finally got a kind of kosher certification, the Jews did not pull out all the stops in stopping Trump. So you could say maybe they allowed him to win, but they didn't make him win.
So would you say that the Democrats lost because their core were in support of the Palestinians and they had?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Shahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Minutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
So would you say that the Democrats Democrats lost because their core were in support of the Palestinians and they had literally no representation, like they were disenfranchised? No, you know, Chlamydia, Joe, nobody really came out on the side of the Palestinians. Would you say that Jewish power saw that, and that Joe and Chlamydia lost because they failed to support the Palestinians? Is that a correct statement?
Well, had they supported the Palestinians, then they would have been losing Jewish money support. So they decided they would stick. I think the what was going on put the Democrats in a very difficult position, where their funders were vehemently on one side of an issue and their voting base was on the other side. And that put them in a much more difficult position than Trump was in. So there's that. One thing I want to say about the statement that Trump, that you said, you ascribed to Trump, where he's, where I guess Fox News said that all restrictions on military aid to, or weapons to Israel, are going to be lifted. The only restriction there has been over this past, 13 months, the only restriction has been the slight delay in one shipment of one type of weaponry. So just a short temporary delay. Effectively, there has been no restrictions on weapons to Israel. And thus, Trump's statement that he's going to lift all restrictions is is actually kind of an empty gesture. Of course, what we need isn't an empty gesture. What we need is like a full reverse course, and that's not going to happen right away. But the last thing I want to say on this matter is that Trump has a history of doing about faces. You know, it was Little Rocket Man. His nukes were bigger than Kim Jong-un's nukes and this and that. And then the next thing you know, they need to get a room. And Trump can make sudden about faces. So, I it would be overly optimistic to predict he's going to do such a thing. But I'll say I wouldn't be that surprised if Donald Trump surprises other people and let's the Israelis sleep in the bed that they've made. I'll put it that way.
Well, just to be, like full forward and out front, what I'm saying is that Jewish power favored Trump. The Jewish power that mattered favored Trump because the Democrat Party completely disintegrated because their base supported Palestine and they saw no way forward. So they went with Trump because he was the candidate that was all for, Israel genociding Palestine and going to war with Iran. That's, where I'm going with that.
Well, you can certainly say that while the Jewish electorate, I guess they were 78%. Were they 78% for chlamydia and 22% for Trump? The Jewish donor base, the donor, so-called donor class, was probably more evenly split.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that the Jews that mattered, the Jews that donated, that if you want to say put them in office, I don't know if you want to say that, but that put the money out there. You're saying that 78% of the Jews were against Trump.
I think that's the figure from exit polling. I think that's what it is.
But he ran his whole campaign like two Jews, like two AIPAC, and to be pro-Israel and pro-war with Iran. That's what he ran on, literally.
That's a big part of it. Now, we might be a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more tuned in to that aspect. If you were getting, if you're in the swing states and you're getting daily mailings from the Trump campaign, because you would be getting daily mailings. Every day you'd get some mailing. And they'd be talking about protecting Social Security. They'd be talking about law and order as opposed to supporting, chlamydia, supporting releasing prisoners and stuff like that. So you're getting just more normie-oriented stuff. The mailings that were just going out to regular voters weren't really talking about Israel. Mm. But we're attuned to that. And so, at a certain level, it's fair to say, yeah, he was really going, he was orienting things to AIPAC, but at a certain level, but at that raw retail level, the daily mailings, and I suppose I don't watch enough TV to really know, sometimes I'm in rooms and TV's on and there was an awful lot of campaign ads. I'm aware of that. I just didn't have time to actually look at them. But I would suppose it's pretty much the same thing. I don't think there was a whole lot of advertising about Israel, but certainly he was on the, I said retail level, what would it be on the specialty boutique level? He was going really full out for Israel. That's for sure.
So it's safe to say that,
level. Yeah,
it's safe to say that the majority of the Trump electorate, the Trump tards, the Trump MAGA people are all on board with Israel. And whatever Donald Trump says about Israel is, the thing. Like they're for that. But amongst this electorate, a lot of them were totally against immigration. Trump made this whole speech about,
Haitians eating dogs and cats. Not only Haitian gangs, but like, you know, what was the other group that ate dogs and cats? You know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, talking about the electorate, there's a huge percentage of the electorate that elected Donald Trump to get these people out of here. Like, they want to see mass deportations. So, this, again, a Stormer article, Trump says he's going to use the military to carry out mass deportations of undesirable human garbage. That's
that's a Stormer article. You know that's a Stormer article.
According to The Guardian, Donald Trump said on Monday that his administration would declare a national emergency and use the U.S. military to carry out mass deportations. So, I mean, will he really do this? I don't know. But even if Trump were able to do like an Operation Wetback tier, you know, deporting 1 or 2 million illegal immigrants, what is that in the scheme of things? Like, what if he even was able to do that? What if he was even able to, you know, deport illegal Haitians and these people that are eating dogs and cats? What if he were even able to do that? Like, what is that in the scheme of things compared to the people that are being brought into this country legally and illegally? But like 1.3 million or even 2 million, like we're looking at 10 million plus in the last 4 years, right? Because when the COVID restrictions were in place, you did have a moratorium on immigrants coming in because of COVID, but then that was lifted and the system compensated for that by, you know, just bringing in even more and more people after the fact. So, like, what is it in the scheme of things if Trump could deport just the gangs, just the Haitian gangs?
Yeah, it's not much. It's not much. If Trump was to keep the promises about immigration that he was actually very specific about, it wouldn't really be that much. It wouldn't be as much as people think. He would talk about mass deportations. But for instance, when J.D. Vance, who speaks more clearly than Trump, when J.D. Vance was asked at the vice presidential debate about breaking up families, you know, instead of saying, oh, no, when we deport the parents, they can take their kids with them. They can go back to their country and take their kids with them. He didn't say that. He said, well, first, we got to start with the murderers and the rapists. Well, you know, most of these people who come over aren't murderers and rapists. Obviously, there are some murderers and rapists amongst them. But, you know, the idea seems to be that, well, if somebody is not a murderer and a rapist and they're more or less a nice person, then they can just walk across the border and stay here. You know, what kind of country is that? But that is actually the implication of a big hunk of Trump's policy on illegal immigration, because he wouldn't even talk about deporting illegal aliens. He would talk about deporting criminal illegals. And so if you're going to use the word criminal, are you calling them all criminals? Or I think much more likely he's distinguishing between the criminal illegal aliens and the non-criminal illegal aliens who presumably might be able to stay here. That seems to be it. But then also on his legal immigration, he was saying that he on a couple of occasions at least said staple green cards to graduates. He said, we need the people. I was at a Trump rally and he said, we need the people. And I just shouted out, no, we don't. We don't need the people. But, you know, that's what he says. We need the people. We don't need the people. Why do we need these people? What's wrong with our people? And so he said stuff like that. Now, you know, seven years ago, 8 years ago, he was talking about rescinding birthright citizenship, and he has mentioned that more recently too, but only, you know, birthright citizenship for illegal aliens, not birthright citizenship itself. But so yeah, his positions on immigration in general are much watered down from before. Even if his tone when he's talking about them, his tone may remain rude and belligerent, but the specifics of what he's saying is considerably watered down.
Well, yeah, so even if Trump were allowed to deport illegals and gangs and gang members, even if that were a thing, and you know, we know that any judge anywhere can do a national injunction and stop it at any point, right? But even if he were allowed to do that, it's just a drop in the bucket to what's already come here, and it's a matter of too little too late. You know, even if he could do the things that he says he's going to do and that we wish he's going to do, deporting gangs and illegals, you have this immigration, this legal immigration that's been put in place since the 1965 Immigration Act, and it's not going to be a drop in the bucket, even if he were to enact everything that he said he was going to enact.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the immigration is that no matter how hardcore his rhetoric is, at the end of the day, only a relatively small proportion of people who come in are going to be deported. So every day we've got more and more people coming in, and the prospects of them being deported are pretty small. I mean, the percentage who might conceivably be deported is a minority of what's coming in, and what's coming in is a flood.
Right. So we went over some different talking points. I mean, what do you have, Patrick? Do you have anything that you want to address before the end of the show?
You know, we work hard, and it's tiring. We're going to see what's happening. I don't know, with like I said, I didn't decide to vote for Trump until probably the final decision was when I was walking down to the polling place. I had been planning on voting for Jill Stein, and then I saw that last Trump rally, and thought, well, I'll give Tulsi Gabbard a chance. It's, you know, it would be nice if you had a democracy, if there was a democracy, it would be nice if you were able to choose between the various candidates and trust that they're going to at least try to implement the policies that they propose. But we've got zero transparency. You have no idea what these people are thinking, and everything's just a crapshoot. That's what I'm thinking.
I wrote in Thomas Massie for president.
Good for you. That's a good choice. Thomas Massie. How about Rand Paul? I mean, I'm trying to think of any people in Congress who are opposed to both the Ukraine war and to the Middle East Gaza stuff. Is there anybody? I mean, that's about it, isn't it? I mean, Rand Paul, is he at all outspoken? It's just impossible. We've got a sorry country, but what I'm most encouraged about is the what's going on with BRICS and other developments overseas. And I heard one person say something about BRICS. BRICS isn't, it's not that it is opposed to America. BRICS is bypassing America. It's bypassing the empire. And you know, that's good. We need an alternative. So I'm happy with that. I stand with the Chinks. I think that the Taliban is a better steward of that $80 billion worth of weaponry than the United States military. So I think there's good stuff going on. Any final thoughts?
How are we looking?
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Maha go go, Maha go go, Maha go go go.
Steward of that $80 billion worth of weaponry than the United States military. So I think there's good stuff going on. Any final thoughts?
How are we looking in regards to BRICS proposing a solution to the Israeli genocide, Israeli-Palestinian genocide? How are we looking on something BRICS comes in on?
See, unfortunately, I think there's, in any scenario, there's just going to be probably hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza, plus lots of people in the West Bank and Lebanon are going to die. But, Scott Ritter and Larry Wilkinson and some of these other people keep emphasizing that that Israel has dug its own grave, that it's got a self-inflicted mortal wound. And I think there's a lot to that. When you've got Hezbollah actually able to, even if it's not wreaking anywhere near the carnage that the Israelis wreak on their neighbors, the Jews don't have the toleration for this. The presidents of Tel Aviv don't have the toleration. The Jews just tend to be a lot more paranoid, a lot more skittish, a lot more nervous. And they have options. Can Israel survive if the Jews leave? And the Jews are leaving. They don't want to serve in the military, and they don't want to live when you've got even a small risk of having your home bombed. And you know, they can kill hundreds of thousands of Arabs, but the population, the population of Arabs and Muslims around them is like 400 or 500 million, you know, like probably half a billion. They're so far outnumbered, and the United States, the Zio Empire, has massive problems inflicted largely by that faction of Jews that hate America more than they love Israel. We're weakened. So I just, it's an untenable situation. And so I think, no matter what the intentions of Marco Rubio or Elise Stefaniak to bolster Israel, I think that Israel has inflicted a very severe wound on itself, and the United States is no longer strong enough to dictate terms. And I think there's going to be some sort of settlement. And when I say negotiated settlement, it's not as if the Israelis will be able to negotiate a settlement with the Gazans. I think there might be some negotiations between Russia and China and Iran and Saudi Arabia. I think the United States might be involved in it, but it's going to be, they're going to be outnumbered. And at the end of the day, there will be a settlement imposed by these other countries. That's what I've been thinking. And I don't see any reason to change my mind at this point.
Yeah. It's that power shift. So we're at the end of the show, right?
We are.
Thank you, Pastor. And stay classy.
Thank you for joining me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with Paul Stevenson and another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.